Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
May God the Father, who created this body, may God the Son, who by his blood redeemed this body, may God the Holy Spirit, who by holy baptism sanctify this body to be his temple, keep these remains to the day of the resurrection of all flesh. These words, of course, are the words spoken at the committal in the service of Christian burial. At that most sober and somber moment, they proclaim the truth about the body of the believer. The body created by the Maker of heaven and earth, purchased and won by the blood of Christ, and hallowed by the washing of the water with the Word, to be the very temple of the Holy Spirit. It is not a leftover carcass to be tossed aside, but a body given by God and now rendered back to him. The body is yours. It is uniquely you. And yet it does not belong to you. You did not create yourself. While we read of the wizardry of post-human futures with synthetic parts that replace worn-out limbs and organs, we finally cannot transcend the reality that we are flesh and blood that one day will perish. We may view the body as a pod that houses our creative and free wills. We may treat the body as an instrument of our hedonisms, as a plaything for our pleasures, but then we need not be surprised that once the toy of the flesh breaks down, we seek ways to be relieved of the burden. Enter assisted suicide and euthanasia. If we finally can't master the body and control the suffering of disease or old age, we will put an end to it at the time and the place of our own choosing. We speak of a person committing suicide as taking their own life, as though it were theirs to take. We think at least we will be done with the burden of the body. What do we do with the body? That is the question faced not just at the time of death, but here and now as we live in the body. When the spirit of this age is mistaken for the Holy Spirit, the body will be thought of as incidental to true spirituality. Such was the case with the super spirituals of Corinth, who apparently thought that something as bodily as sexual intercourse could not affect life in the spirit. Freedom in the spirit translated into life unhampered by restrictions, limitations, or boundaries. Homosexual practice, prostitution, and even incest were fair game. Perhaps they reasoned that the bounds of Christian liberty were wide, elastic, and expansive, ever permissive, since after all, food is meant for the body, or is meant for the stomach, and stomach for the food, and God will destroy both. It could be that they mistakenly thought that the gospel is a message of liberation from the body. The glue that binds us together, we are then told, is the gospel, baptism, and mission. Something as mundane as sexual ethics should not get in the way of these. We need an ethic, we are told, that is more relational and less physicalist. At least that was an argument advanced by one of the proponents of change in the debates within the ELCA this past August. The apostle takes a position that asserts an ethic that is indeed physicalist. For the body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. What you do with your body does matter. Listen again to the words of Paul. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? It is a matter of ownership. You can't take the body which belongs to Christ, bought with his blood and washed by his Spirit in holy baptism, and join that body to a prostitute. To do so, Paul says, is to sin against your own body. And hence he says that we are to flee sexual sin, for every other sin a person commits outside of his body, but this sin is against your body, the very body that God has created, redeemed, and sanctified. Christ Jesus will not have the body that belongs to him rendered unclean, desecrated by fornication, and enslaved by a fleshly union to one who is not your spouse. Christ Jesus would not have you live in bondage to another Lord, for he has made you his own. He has purchased and won you from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood and his innocent suffering and death, that you may live under him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. Just as he in his body is risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity. And that's good news. Your body belongs not to you, but to the Lord. And so the apostle says, glorify God in your body, for your body is the place of his Holy Spirit, and it is destined for the resurrection of the flesh. And in the meantime, what do you do with the body? You present it as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. For this is your spiritual worship. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep you in body and soul to life everlasting. Amen.